for Thursday, July 29th. It's the early word from the WNYC newsroom. Hello, I'm Lance Lucky with a look ahead at the morning's top news, the day ahead, and reporting highlights from the WNYC news team. Coming up, Richard Hake gets a blogger's take on the second season of Jersey Shore, and the city will soon have an online weapon in its never-ending battle against bedbugs. We'll start with the morning's top headlines just ahead.
The Early Word is a production of WNYC Radio. You can support this podcast by making a donation at WNYC.org, where you can also get the latest updates on this morning's headlines on the news page.
President Obama decided Edison, New Jersey would be a fine place to grab a bite of lunch Wednesday, but he was really there to chew over ideas with several local small business owners. WNYC's Bob Henley was with him.
The sub-sandwich summit on small business included a Republican manufacturer from Passaic County, a heating refrigeration guy branching out into home energy audits, and a couple of restaurant owners. The president said it was this scale of business that creates two of every three new jobs.
And that's why I'm urging the Senate to approve a jobs bill that will do two big things for small businesses: cut taxes and make more loans available.
Sandwich shop owner David Thornton, who hosted the sub-summit, said when he complained to the president about a recent 35% hike in what he pays for his employees' health care premiums, the president had some good news.
He's actually pointed out that we'll be due for a 35% tax reduction, I believe.
When the president left for Manhattan, Thornton's shop was jammed with Obama supporters who wanted to get the same sandwich Obama had ordered. For WNYC, I'm Bob Henley.
Governor Patterson will not face criminal charges for contacting a woman who later dropped domestic violence charges against his top aide. Retired State Chief Judge Judith Kay concluded the governor's actions did not constitute witness tampering, but she did serve up a rebuke. She said Patterson, his staff, and state police had made numerous errors of judgment. WNYC's Ozzie Pabura says Patterson has not said if he would take any disciplinary action against staff members mentioned in the report.
He did bat down the notion that he had called lawmakers to Albany in order to somehow distract attention away from the release of this report. He said he only found out about it, that it was being released this morning around the same time that reports about it started surfacing in the media.
Patterson's former aide, David Johnson, could still face domestic abuse charges. Meanwhile, that so-called extraordinary session of the New York State Legislature last night was anything but extraordinary. Karen DeWitt has more from Albany.
Governor Patterson called legislators back to Albany after nearly a month's absence to try to force them to complete the state budget, which was due back on April 1st. But both houses gaveled in and gaveled back out within a matter of minutes without acting on any of Patterson's bills.
There being no further business, Mr. President, I move that we adjourn until Thursday, July 29th at 10 a.m.
The governor had issued a lengthy list of agenda items, including a revised revenue bill that includes new taxes on clothing, expanded state-sponsored gambling, and other items. The state assembly approved the tax and fee bill in early July, but Senate Democrats failed to garner the 32 votes needed to pass the measure. Senate Democrats refused to accept the governor's new revenue bill. Several Senate Democrats, including Senate President Malcolm Smith and some Republicans, did not show up for the session, so even if there were agreement on the bills, they would have been unlikely to pass. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Bedbugs beware. City officials have set aside $500,000 to create a bedbug web portal, and they're dedicating staff to help New Yorkers prevent and treat infestations by the six-legged parasites. There's been a recent surge in infestations around the city, with 54% more cases reported in 2009 than in 2008. Entomologists can't explain the increase, but the advisory board chair, Dr. Jody Gangloff-Kaufman, says it could have to do with the crafty nature of the reddish-brown bug.
Do you have a MetroCard in your pocket? Well, a bedbug can slip into a crack that a MetroCard can slip into. I mean, the tiniest little crevice, and they are flat until they feed.
By early next year, city officials expect the bedbug web portal to be live, so to speak. And finally, if New York's restaurateurs want to feed Mayor Bloomberg, they will need high marks. The health department started grading restaurants A, B, or C, and the mayor was asked how it might affect his dining habits.
If the health department rated one of your favorite restaurants with a C, would you go to that restaurant?
No.
How about a B?
It depends on the food.
According to the health department estimates, only 37% of New York's restaurants would have gotten an A last year. Well, taking a look at today's calendar, there's just not much on it. After his trip to New Jersey and New York yesterday, President Obama will deliver a major education reform speech at the National Urban League's 100th anniversary convention. And Governor Patterson has again ordered legislators to Albany for a special session to finalize the four-month late state budget. Tonight, the season premiere of the hit MTV reality show Jersey Shore hits the airwaves. WNYC's Richard Hake spoke with one TV critic about what we can expect.
Hello! Party's here!
It takes me about 25 minutes to do my hair. It comes out perfect every single time.
There's no way I'm going to Jersey without my hair gel.
I felt so disrespected. I was beyond pissed. I was like, I'm done. Don't ever look at me in the face ever again.
Sometimes it's hard to believe what happens on MTV's reality show, The Jersey Shore, but it's just as hard to look away sometimes. Writer and blogger Meredith Blake is in our studio today to explain the phenomenon called Jersey Shore. Hi, Meredith.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So for those of us who haven't been following every thong adjustment or jacuzzi party, recap what this show is about and what's happened on the show so far.
Okay, so you have eight strangers picked to live in a house.
I'd say strangers,
right,
yes.
Right, and they don't know each other, but they do have one thing in common, which is their self-identified Guidos. Can I say that?
Yes,
I think
you can.
Now,
full disclosure, I am a fan of this show. I mean, I checked it out last season, right at the beginning, just to see what all the kind of controversy was about. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I did get hooked.
Yes.
And I kind of watch it with my mouth open in sheer amazement sometimes. It's sort of like watching a train wreck.
Yes.
But I'm not alone. The season finale had 4.8 million viewers. That's almost triple the audience who watched the series premiere, and it did break records for MTV. So what's so appealing about this show?
Well, I think there's something about it that's really, there's sort of this anthropological distance that when you're watching it, there's this kind of fascination with this bizarre subculture that it's especially fascinating because everybody in that subculture thinks they're totally awesome.
Yeah.
And to outsiders, it's completely bizarre. The hair, the tannin, everything else just seems completely alien.
There was a big outcry from Italian-American organizations about the show's representation of the so-called self-identified here Guido lifestyle.
Right.
How did the show recover from that?
Well, this season they've promised to tone down the Italian-American references, which I'm not sure how much they're going to be able to do that because it's really comes from within the show itself. I mean, granted, there were some details like the Italian flag on the garage door, things like that. But I think just the sheer success of the show really did the work for them. They didn't have to really apologize for it after a while.
One of the show's producers told the New York Times that the people on this show were just like the people who sat around her dinner table. So is this show reality or is it a huge offensive stereotype?
It's reality in the sense that we're living in a world where people have grown up with reality TV and they understand. They sort of, it's a normal thing to the people on this show who are 21, 22 and have grown up watching the real world. And they know that acting out will get them attention. So I think in that sense, it is reality. But of course, it is a huge stereotype, too. And I mean, the people on the show aren't even Italian necessarily. So I think I understand the offense. And I do think it's offensive, yet it's also really fun to watch.
Here we have another clip of one of the opponents who says that they are not from New Jersey. This is Governor Chris Christie. He was on the Today Show earlier this week. He said that Snooki and the rest of the cast were mostly New Yorkers who were just dumped on the Jersey Shore.
Fact of the matter is they parachute all these people from New York onto the Jersey Shore, and then they say this is New Jersey. It's not New Jersey, and if you want to come to the Jersey Shore, 6-7 weeks left in summer, let's go. I'll show you the real Jersey Shore.
Some people are saying that though they're good for the economy in the towns along the Jersey Shore, that they've increased tourism. You're a guy who needs money in your state.
Yeah, listen, we'll find other ways to increase tourism. We'll take Snooki in the situation. You can have him back.
Well, speaking of money, for the first season, cast members reportedly received a total of $25,000 for the whole season. Mm-hmm. But this season, they held out for nearly that for each episode.
Yeah.
Are they setting kind of new standards for reality television stars now?
I think so. I mean, it is pretty extraordinary. And then the situation also, according to TMZ, which is fairly reliable as these things go. He's apparently gotten a one-time bonus of something like $60,000, depending on ratings. So I think it is fairly unprecedented, especially for a show that's so, let's say the stars don't necessarily have that much talent. They may have a certain kind of appeal, but It's they're pretty lucky, let's put it that way.
This cast is certainly taking in all the celebrity attention that they can get. I mean, Snooki gets $20,000 to show up at a party. Mm-hmm. Pauly D, who is a DJ, commands huge amounts to perform at a party. I think Mike the Situation has a line of vitamins.
He's penning a self-help book, too.
Well, there you go. Do you think all of this attention, though, will affect the show itself? I mean, will they act any differently on the show?
Well, this is something I've been spending a lot of time thinking about, because part of the appeal of the show was that they were sort of random, cheesy people at the Jersey Shore. And now I wonder, now this
season,
they're
celebs now.
Exactly. They're huge and people know them. They also know their catchphrases. You know, their catchphrases the first time were sort of, I'm not going to say they weren't contrived, but they weren't sort of a national, part of the national conversation.
And they were genuine.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as genuine as someone called The Situation can be, he was. Now this season, he knows he's famous. I mean, I think it'll be really interesting to watch, especially now that they're out of context, because this season they're in Miami, which may be a little, you know, it's a little more flashy than New York, let's put it that way, but it's not Seaside Heights, that's for sure.
You said that the production value of the show is purposely low. Do you think that will change, or is that part of kind of what makes it great?
It's certainly part of what makes it great. This upcoming season, they're staying in a hotel on South Beach called the Metropole, which is, you know, sort of medium. I think it's a decent deal. And it's kind of IKEA chic, which is certainly very, very different than their house in Seaside Heights, which was like wood paneling. It had the sunset wallpaper, AstroTurf roof, you know. And I think it was sort of, to me, it was sort of a wink, wink. Nod to sort of how cheesy this world was, and as viewers, we sort of laughed at the decor, the duck phone, especially when they're having emotional conversations on a phone that was shaped like a duck
and would quack like a duck.
Yes,
when it would
exactly.
Ring.
I mean, it was sort of the joke was on them.
And Snooki never could work it
right.
Properly.
Exactly.
Well, we do know that for the next season, they're actually recording right now, or they're taping back in Seaside Heights, New Jersey.
Yes.
The premiere of season 2 of Jersey Shore is tonight at 10 o'clock on MTV. Meredith Blake blogs for the LA Times. Thanks a lot, Meredith.
Thank you.
And there's just enough time for today's Gig Alert. Chicago's Occidental Brothers Dance Band International performs tonight at Le Poisson Rouge in Greenwich Village. The group's inspiration stems from the dance music of Central and West Africa, and this track features Ghanaian vocalist Kofi Cromwell. It's just one of the songs available for free download on our culture site. For this and more tracks from artists playing around the city every night, click on culture at WNYC.org. And you can learn more about the stories you heard here, download more podcasts, and go in depth with our reporters on the news blog. It's all at our website, WNYC.org. You can hear us there 24 hours a day, and of course on the air at 93.9 FM and AM 820. From the WNYC Newsroom, I'm Lance Lucky. Have a great Thursday.